Hallo und willkommen zu unserem Podcast Close Aside.
Hallo, willkommen zu unserem Podcast, wo Andrew versucht, Deutsch zu sprechen.
And Ingrid tries to speak English.
And sometimes we'll get it right.
And sometimes we'll just be close aside.
Welcome back, everyone. This time, as Andrew announced, you'll have to... How did you say it? You'll have to do with just the two of us?
Yeah, do with just the two of us.
Yeah, sorry about that. Aber ich finde, wir haben ein paar richtig gute Themen heute. Part 3 will be Anmachsprüche.
So, if you want some German pickup lines, stick around till part 3.
But I think, also ich finde, wir sollten starten mit Rückmeldungen. So, we haven't been getting many emails, so... Just a little plug. Andrew, email us. What's our email address?
Email
it's
us
not
at...
close aside.
No. Email us at closeaside@gmail.com.
Oh, yes, we should mention that. I'm so sorry. On a previous episode, we said people should send us an email to the Close Society email.
And well, I not tried... us an email. It was someone else's. But send
No, them, yes, yeah. Exactly. Sorry.
We asked for you to send a stranger emails.
Yes. And then ich hab eine E-Mail geschickt an Close Society because I wanted to know who it is and if they would respond, but the email bounced, which is really annoying. Like, why does the email bounce? But I can't get the handle myself.
Es ist eine Schade, ja.
Yeah, es ist schade. Was haben wir noch? Oh, wir haben eine Frage. Vicky fragt, because I told them the air fryer joke.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Dignitas joke.
For context, I got an air fryer for my birthday, and my boss told me next birthday I should get a Dignitas subscription because I'm getting old.
Ja, das war ein guter Witz. Und Vicky fragt, wie ist der Airfryer? Weil sie möchte sich vielleicht auch einen kaufen.
Oh, es ist ganz toll. I love my Airfryer. Wie sagt man Airfryer auf Deutsch?
Ich glaube auch so. Keiner, warte, ich Airfryer. Google das mal.
While you Google. Ja, die Airfryer ist echt toll. Man kann fast alles kochen. The best thing actually about it, though, I think, is... You know sometimes when you've got leftovers and you microwave them to heat them up and they go a bit soggy?
Okay.
If you put them in an air fryer, it takes a little bit longer, but it heats them up perfectly, keeps the structural integrity. I'm a huge fan of the air fryer. I like this podcast, this bit is not sponsored, but if an air fryer company wants to sponsor us, we're open to it. You know, I love my air fryer. Ich liebe mein air fryer.
Very good. So I lied previously. In German, it's Heißluftfritteuse.
Heißluftfritteuse.
Yeah.
That sounds cool as well, to be fair. So Heißluftfritteuse.
Yeah. Okay. Also, Vicky, ich habe das...
So, Vicky, kauf ein Heißluftfritteuse. That wasn't the word. Too much German. Kauf ein Airfryer. Ich kann es total empfehlen.
Sehr gut.
I actually don't think I've cooked something without using the air fryer for about 3 weeks at this point. So sometimes it's the air fryer and something else, but you know, the air fryer has been integral in all my cooking for at least 3 weeks, I think.
Okay.
For the listeners who can't see, Ingrid is giving me a look of derision now, so...
A look of what?
Derision.
Derision.
It's like... A look of, you're almost appalled at how shameful that is.
Oh, it's a good word. Also auf Deutsch, ich habe es gerade eingegeben. Hohn, Spott, Verhöhnung, Verspottung. Ich glaube aber nicht, also ich finde nicht, dass ich den Blick hatte.
That's how I interpreted the look.
Ich bin froh, dass du dich gesund ernährst, Andrew.
The air fryer ist gesünder als normal frying. Also,
yeah, sure, no, that it's like frying it but without oil.
Without oil,
oh,
yeah.
And no, actually, that was a question of Vicky. I remember what they wanted to know is like, do you put oil, just a little bit of oil, onto whatever you're frying?
Almost never.
Oh.
the only time I... So, I, like, spritz a little bit of oil in it. And, like,
you
honestly,
spritz it.
It's honestly, like, the tiniest amount. The only time I ever do that is if I'm cooking fried chicken. And if I'm... and I'm unhealthy. And even if I oven cook chips, I drizzle a bit of oil on them. Mm-hmm. So I put a little bit of oil in when I make chips in it as well. So, but that's like, I very rarely use oil in it, and it works perfect every time.
Okay, also, Air Fryer Company, bitte sponsored.
Yeah, I'll send out some.
Er ist sehr gut darin.
I'll send out some emails.
Ja, schickt uns eine E-Mail, closeaside@gmail.com.
Or our new email, airfryersociety@gmail.com. Don't email that one, we don't own it yet. Anyway, yeah. So there's our air fryer section sorted.
Okay, und dann vielleicht, Andrew, ich habe dir im Jänner mal ein Foto geschickt.
Ah ja, lass mir es finden. So, Ingrid has sent me a photo that I can't find. Here we go, found it. And I've got to guess what it is. Is that yes. correct?
Ja, genau.
Okay. Oh, God. So, it's something inside what looks like a glass cylinder.
Das ist richtig.
And then there's, like, a little plaque thing with some writing and what looks like hair, but it's not hair. And then...
Also, du hast im Prinzip schon richtig geraten.
Is it hair? It's not hair, is it?
Doch, es sind Haare.
Wirklich? Oh, I thought that was a... Oh, no, that's... Okay, I thought it looked like hair, but it's going to be something else. Is es richtige Haare?
Ja.
Die Frage von einer Person oder ja, von einem Tier oder...
No, it's from a person. So you have to guess which person it's... Okay. It may or may not be from.
Wo hast... It's not Jesus, is it? It's always Jesus.
So, as a hint, which should make it completely obvious, it's I took this picture in Salzburg.
In Salzburg. Oh, I'm going to go on a wild guess then, and if it's not Jesus, it's his hair in a church. If it's something in Salzburg, is this meant to be Mozart's hair?
Of course it's meant to be Mozart. So I recently went to the, what's it called, Mozart Geburtshaus?
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Es ist einer von diesen Touristenklassikern, aber ich war mir nicht sicher, ob es so ein Touristenscam ist oder nicht. Ich würde sagen, man kann sich schon anschauen. Man muss nicht. Ich würde jetzt nicht. I wouldn't say you have to go there if you're a tourist in Salzburg, but it's not a complete tourist trap. But there was this hair, which Andrew guessed very correctly, and the description next to this glass thing with the hair was, I guess. Well, this organization has this four, is it called strands? Strands of hair?
Yeah, strands of hair.
Strands or like locken. No, so not strands. Locken, what's locken? Curls. Curls so of hair.
You can also say a lock of hair.
Oh, so a lock of hair.
So strands of hair probably means when there's very few. So, you know, like when CSI go and they're like, oh, we found three strands of hair. And then a curl of hair, I guess, is... When the hair curls, it's one, like a complete curl of it, and a lock of hair can be just a clump of hair, I guess. But like not a clump, like not an ugly, nasty clump, but like a lock that's been cut out.
Okay, so it says that there's this hair that's attributed to Mozart, but then it goes on, eine gentechnische Analyse. The only information they gathered is that. Three of the four locks belonged to the same person.
I mean, I was going to say, I reckon I could just cut some of my hair off and sell it off as some celebrities. So, weirdly, Carmen, I'm older now. This is like 12 years ago, I guess now. But when I was, when me and a close friend of mine at the time, she was going to a different college than I was going to go to study our A-levels, and we gave each other a lock of our hair as like a little memento. And ich glaube, dass ich es still, I still have it somewhere, like So that's weird. 16-year-old me was weird, but it takes two. She got one lock of mine and I got a lock of hers. So auf Englisch we'd say it takes two to tango.
Okay, sollen wir mit Teil 2 weitermachen? Da reden wir einfach noch so über random Deutsch-Englisch-Fragen, die wir haben über zur jeweils anderen Sprache.
Genau. So, we're gonna chat some shit in part 2 and we'll see you there.
I thought we could start with a message that you sent me recently.
Oh gosh, okay, let's go. Yeah, what did I say?
You said, no wonder I can't organise my way out of a paper bag.
Oh, yes, I did. So, Ingrid and I had to arrange a call with someone else we work with to do some work. And I basically just emailed going, when are you guys free? And Ingrid was like, Andrew, there's a better way to do this, like a doodle poll or something. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, I was just, like, my plan was just stupid. It wasn't going to work. So, as yeah, I replied to English, I can't organise my way out of a paper bag. But it sounds like you haven't come across this phrase before.
No, no, I like it very much. Is it common?
I don't think it's like...
Or did you come up common? With it?
No, I didn't come up with it. So, something that you could say about people is, say you've got like a scrawny little kid, and you're trying to emphasise how scrawny they are, you might say... Scrawny is like skinny, not much muscle.
Oh, okay.
And so on. You might
like
say
a
something like...
Tarzan.
Yeah, go now. Yeah. Go. Throw back. So you might say there that they can't fight their way out of a paper bag, meaning like they're so weak or bad at fighting that if they were in a paper bag, they wouldn't be able to punch their way out of it.
Right, but the organise your way out of a paper bag, was that your invention?
I don't think this is just me. I doubt anyone else has said that exact sentence. Someone must have. But I think you can basically say, I can't blah my way out of a paper bag to be like, I'm bad at this.
Okay, interesting.
So that's what I meant. But yeah, it's most often used in like, yeah, he couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. Funnily, there is a YouTube video of people trying to punch their way out of paper bags, and it's much harder than you think. Like, they've got these big paper bags and they put people in it, and...
Oh, that sounds horrifying.
It's harder to do than you think, apparently, but anyway.
Yeah. Okay. I was trying to come up with a different example. Like, I can't drink myself out of a paper bag.
Oh, that one doesn't seem to work as well.
I can't... drive myself out of a paper bag.
Oh, I don't think that one works either. I can't speak German way out of a paper bag. It doesn't really work there either. Why does it work and I can't organise my way out of a paper bag? Let's see if Dr. Google has any answers. Oh, so... apparently it works best when you're trying to emphasise that one is particularly, like, dim-witted, unintelligent, incompetent, or unable to do something basic.
Right, driving a car isn't basic enough.
Isn't it? I don't think so. And that's why it works for organisation, because it's basically just implying that I'm too stupid to organise anything. So you can say stuff like, can't find their way out of a paper bag. And then
Me. Oh my god, I need to remember that.
Do you get lost all the time?
Anyone who knows me, I'm absolutely useless. Yeah.
The other example is, you know, someone's been promoted to be a manager and then someone replies, that guy can't manage his way out of a paper bag. So yeah, I guess it's about you being dumb or stupid, but broadly. Or weak, in the case of fighting, I guess, but...
Okay, do you have any German questions?
Oh, gosh, so many. Okay, so we've done... Okay, I spoke some German recently.
Oh.
I was with some friends, and we wanted a photo took of us, and the people around us were speaking German. And so I said, Können Sie bitte ein Foto von uns machen?
Oh, very good.
Oh, is that right?
That's perfect.
Yeah, because I thought this was right, and then I was like, you know what? we're always here to learn and improve. I'll check. And the translation online said Kärntensee bitte ein Foto von uns machen. So obviously, I was saying, can you take a photo for us? And I guess this von uns is like off us instead. But my real question is about the difference here between Kärntensee and Kärntensee.
Oh, wait, did you previously say...
I said...
Können Sie ein Foto...
Können Sie bitte ein Foto für uns machen?
Oh, okay.
And I think this might be my English side coming in, because in English you would say, could you... Oh, can you take a photo for us, please? Would be more
okay.
natural
no,
to me.
I agree. Like, it's not common to say, können Sie ein Foto für uns machen? Yeah, I agree with the internet. So könnten is just more polite than können.
Okay.
Because it's just more vague, right? It's like, in the case, maybe, possibly, could you?
Oh,
just,
okay.
Could you, and not can you. Could you versus can you.
Oh, I see, okay. And but it's all still coming from ich kann, du kannst, das, yes, kann,
yes.
Right?
It's just, could you or can you?
Oh, so it's like this... I guess it's not quite like related to the imperative kind of stuff and all that, or...
No, like, imperative would be machen Sie ein Foto von uns. That, you shouldn't say that. No, but I think, like, can you take a photo or could you take a photo? It's okay. Like, both is fine, is it?
Right, I see. Yeah, okay.
In English it would also be more polite to say, could you please take a photo?
Could you take a photo?
Can
yeah.
you take a photo?
Yeah, could you would be politer there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting. Again, even the von versus for a bit, is it that interests me a bit? Yeah, because in English you could say both, like, could you take a photo for us? Could you take a photo of us? The one that feels more natural, I know they're taking a photo of you, but I think... It feels more natural because they're doing you a favour. They're doing something for you.
Oh, yeah.
So well, I feel that I could see. You take a photo for us? It feels more natural in English, but you could definitely say both.
Okay. No, but I wasn't focusing on those words too much because I was waiting for you to say, könnten Sie ein Foto von uns nehmen?
Ah, no, so this one I'm quite good at. I think it's quite funny. My understanding is that it's basically only, well, you know, of the languages I speak, which is, I did a little bit of French at school, where it's also faire une photo, rather than to take a photo. So, I do know it's ein Foto machen. But yeah, I don't really know of any other languages other than English where you say to take a photo rather than to make a photo.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
And I feel it makes more sense because you are making the photo, but
yes, you are making the photo.
Like, yeah, I don't know how take fits in with what you're doing here, but
yeah. Okay, well then I'll continue with another English question.
You do English.
When I get emails in English, I think I did get a lot of emails starting with Dear Ingrid, or yeah, mostly Dear Ingrid, and I would write emails like dear name, like whether it's dear professor or something, or
yeah.
Dear Tom, like I'd write dear. But then recently someone told me that nowadays you shouldn't write dear, you should write hello or something like that.
You're talking to the wrong person here.
Oh.
Because in the same way you're bad at German swear words, I am a stickler for email etiquette. So So it is much more common now to just put hi, hello, something like that, and to end with just like a cheers or whatever. Or you'd be surprised how many emails I get that don't even have a name or a greet, like a thing at the end to finish it anyway. So this person's telling the truth, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, it is much more common now for people to be like, hi, Ingrid, blah, 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 cheers, Andrew.
Mm.
I hate this. I use dear and best wishes, Andrew, every single time.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But this is me being an old-fashioned
old man.
Stick in the mud.
An old man.
Like, I hate it because in our job, in our job, we have to communicate with people, right? And So you...
Yes, we're not good at it, but we do need to do it.
So we get lots of emails from the people we're dealing with, and inevitably they never start it with a dear Andrew, it's always hi. And then never sign off properly. And then if they've even put like a, what's it, why can't I think of the English? Where they like rarely put a subject for the email. And it winds me up. Yes, I am. Yes.
I don't. I always get like overly polite emails and it's so uncomfortable.
No, all I want is, like, dear Andrew, like, I want in your subject what the thing is about, so I know to ignore it.
Yes.
Then, then I want, dear Andrew, whatever your query is, best wishes, your name. But yeah, no, invariably it's, like, no subject, so I've got to click on the email to work out what it's about, to know to ignore it, and then,
Okay, well, I think there's probably the same discussion in German, or maybe it's just the people, like, have learned this from English and now they're transferring it to German. But I do get emails now with hallo as well. And I've started doing that as well. Because now, when I actively think about it, like, I wouldn't address anyone with dear. Like, yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is weird, but if you're emailing me, use a dear. That's all I'm going to say.
I email you, I don't write anything because I'm like pretending to still be on WhatsApp.
Oh, I mean, I can't talk. I sent you something for this thing we're doing together, and I don't think I put a text. I think I put a subject in so you knew how to ignore it, but I think I just attached the thing and with no text. So
yeah, I think that's fine as long as you put the subject line.
But no, what was my other complaint? Oh no, this is my thing in German. One thing I really like about German, except this word, is that you spell it how you say it and you say it how you spell it. I've never been able to spell Gehörte.
It doesn't sound
like, and then you've got to like put extra E's in or not E's in depending on who you're emailing, and it just stresses this whole Zer Gehörte blah blah blah. Always confuses my poor little head.
You don't pronounce the H, so it's geehrt. Geehrt.
Well, German's legacy for being the language where you say it as how it's spelled is crumbling as we speak now, Ingrid. I mean, the other thing here is, right, that I've never heard someone say this in real life. Like,
well, at like, I think I have, maybe, at like speeches.
Oh, okay. No, okay, that makes sense there. Because you're essentially saying, like, respected.
Yes. Yeah. I think I've actually said it myself in a speech.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
So, here's maybe a fun English lesson for everyone. So, if you're emailing someone you don't know, you'd probably put dear sir or madam.
That's another question. Okay, go ahead.
So, basically, I guess my question is, do you know when to use yours faithfully versus yours sincerely?
Oh, yes. We learned that at school. That was one of the things that they told us, like, you have to remember that.
God, educate the English people, because so many people who speak English don't actually know this.
Oh, really? I really remember that from school. Like, it was a big thing. I hope I remember correctly. So, sincerely is if you know the name, and faithfully is the rare case where you don't know the name.
Exactly right. So, dear sir or madam ends with yours faithfully. And do you know how to remember it? It's because you don't want to be a snake and have two S's, the sir and the sincerely.
Okay.
That's how I remember it.
Yeah, I think it's time to move on to part three, which, as always, is in German only. So if you don't understand German, I'm really sorry, because we are going to be talking about pickup lines.
We'll see you in part three.
Wir haben schon mal über einen Anmachspruch geredet. Ein Hörer, ein Höri geschickt.
Pepsi, Fanta zusammen, wir können Spezi zusammen sein.
Cola und Fanta.
Cola und Fanta, ja.
Ja, genau, genau. Wir können nochmal Spezi. Und das war die Idee, also das hat mir die Idee gegeben, dass wir einen ganzen Teil über Anmachsprüche machen könnten. Andrew, hast du einen Lieblingsanmachspruch, außer das mit Spezi? Hast du jemals einen Anmachspruch verwendet?
Nein, nee, nie. Ich hasse wie sagt man, Anmachsprüche?
Anmachsprüche.
Anmachsprüche.
Anmachen, jemanden anmachen.
Ah, ja, okay. Und ein Spruch ist wie von Sprachen, oder?
Ein Spruch. I guess Spruch is just a line.
Okay, mag Sinn. Ehrlich gesagt, hasse ich Anmachsprüche. Also, ich habe angemacht. I've chatted people up. Aber ich hasse Anmachsprüche.
Aber weißt du was? Es gibt eine, den ich wirklich lustig finde. Ich weiß nicht, ich finde ihn immer noch lustig. Kennst du den? Ich habe meine Nummer vergessen. Kann ich deine haben?
Okay, das ist nicht so schlecht. Das ist ein bisschen lustig. Ich habe einen Kumpel, der sehr religiös ist. Er ist ein Christian.
Ein Christ.
Ein Christ. Ich weiß nicht, wenn es auf Deutsch funktioniert, aber he met his girlfriend at Bible Club and said to her, I've been reading the Book of Numbers. Can I have yours?
What's the Book of Numbers? Was?
Es ist ein Teil von die Bibel.
Oh. Ich habe
ja, genau.
Keine Ahnung von der Bibel.
Und ja, sie sind nicht heutzutage zusammen. Also, aber er ist verheiratet. Vielleicht er hat es wieder benutzt.
Ja, ich glaube, das wäre mit dem anderen funktioniert. Bei ihr hat es ja auch funktioniert, oder? Sie waren ja zusammen.
Es hat funktioniert. ja, es hat, ich weiß nicht wie, aber ja, es hat funktioniert. Ja, ich mag Anmachsprüche nicht. Also ich bin schwul. Normal, als ich single war, ja, ich bin schwul. Ich kann nur schau mir deinen Schwanz sagen.
Oh. Warum?
Auf Grindr. Man braucht nicht so viel.
Oh, warte. Apropos Dating-Apps. Also, ich habe mit jemandem geredet und sie hat mal auf einer Dating-App den Spruch bekommen. Oh. Oh je. Ich bin gut drauf. Bist du gut drunter?
Ich hasse es.
Ich habe noch ein absolutes Highlight. Das ist auch von der, also es ist eine Rhönrad-Freundin. Shoutout an sie für diese tollen Anmachen, die sie mir mal im Auto erzählt hat. Und zwar, und das hat sie tatsächlich von jemandem bekommen. Okay?
Okay.
Yep. Oh mein Gott. Ich hab in mein Bett geschissen. Darf ich bei dir schlafen? Ich hab in mein Bett geschissen. Darf ich bei dir schlafen?
Oh Gott. Nein, du scheißt in mein Bett auch. Nein, das klingt total scheiß. Ich hasse das. Oh Gott.
Ich habe noch einen, also den auch jemand in echt bekommen hat. Ich weiß nicht, ob es sowas gibt. Das habe ich davor noch nie gehört. Sie hat gesagt, der geht so, zählen wir Schultern. Let's count shoulders. And you go, 1, 2, 3. I showed it to Andrew. Also, nur zur Erklärung, halt, du tippst deine eigene Schulter an, dann die von der anderen Person und dann halt die auf der anderen Seite von der anderen Person.
Nein, ich mag das nicht. Ein anderer altmodischer auf Englisch ist, du bist in die Club, du tanzt, du siehst eine Person, die du magst, und du tanzt da und sagst, grab your coat you've pulled.
Sorry?
Du sagst, grab your coat you've pulled.
Nimm deinen Mantel, du hast... Was?
So, to pull, auf Englisch, ist wenn du hast Wie sagt das mal? You've succeeded in finding your person for the evening. So it's basically saying, get your coat because we're gonna go and fight. Grab your coat, you've pulled.
Oh, wow.
Ich habe es nie benutzt, aber ich habe einen Kumpel, die es benutzt einmal und ja, he was slapped.
Oh.
Gestreicht? Er war gestreicht?
Auf Österreichisch, er hat eine Watschen bekommen.
Er hat eine Watschen bekommen.
Du würdest sagen, er hat eine Backpfeife bekommen.
Backpfeife bekommt. Ja. Es war lustig und ja, he deserved it. To deserve auf Deutsch?
Er hat es verdient.
Ja, er hat es verdient. Okay. Ich habe es, ja, es war sehr lustig, aber
oh je.
Es funktioniert nicht. Oh, ich habe gegoogelt. Gegoogelt?
Ja, gegoogelt.
Und ja, alle sind total scheiß. Did we go to school together? I could swear we had chemistry.
Du magst ihn nicht? Ich finde das gar nicht
du
so
magst
dumm.
Das? Du magst das? Okay.
Ich will keine Anmachsprüche bekommen, aber ich finde, das ist einer der besseren.
Wie sagt man to believe auf Deutsch?
Glauben.
Oh, ich weiß diese Worte. Was ist los mit mir? Glaubst du in Liebe im ersten Blick? Oder soll
ich nochmal reinkommen?
Genau. Ich hasse diese. Oh. If I could rearrange the alphabet, I'd put you and I together.
Den finde ich auch nicht ganz so schlecht, muss ich sagen. Nur zur Klarstellung, bitte verwendet keine. Ich will keine davon bekommen, aber ich finde, manche sind weniger schlimm als andere. Ich glaube, mein Favorite ist immer noch der mit der Nummer, weil ich ihn einfach so absurd finde.
Ja.
Ich habe meine Nummer verloren, kannst du mir deine geben? Ich meine, ja, er ist wahrscheinlich schon sehr abgenutzt und nicht so lustig, aber ich finde ihn vom Konzept her gut.
Aber ehrlich, ein Tipp von uns. Wenn man jemanden anmachen
will, oder? Ja.
Benutzt kein Anmachspucke. Sprich für eine normale Person. Sei nett. Und
Andrew's nicht... dating advice. But you know what? So I don't want to get pickup lines unless they come
They're
via
sent
email.
To our email.
Yes,
exactly. Schick uns dein Lieblings-Anmachsprüche zu closeaside@gmail.com.
We're not gonna go on a date with you, but we will mention you on the podcast.
I won't because I've got a boyfriend, but Ingrid might, if it's good enough.
Sure, yeah. So email us and, we might have, I don't know if we'll have more guests on, but we might.
If you think you're interesting enough to be a guest on Close Aside, email us at closeaside@gmail.com.
Send us your CV. And you can address us with Dear Sir or Madam.
Or Dear Andrew and Ingrid, but there you're going to use your sincerely.
Sincerely. Looking forward to your emails and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.